So, how well do you know the narrative? And I'm talking about the Bible. See, the Bible comes in many genres of books, some being prophecy, some being epistles, and also you have your apocalyptic literature, but you know, most part you have narrative, which is just story. And this is, you know, this narrative doesn't really tell you, you know, it tells you the character of God is really what I'm trying to say. You read the Bible and you see good things, you see bad things, but in all of it, you see who God is and what he's done in the world. Now, the book I was able to study is a version of the Bible called the Narrated Bible. Essentially, it takes the everything that happened in the Bible, and at least for what we think it is, puts it in order. And there's a little bit of commentary as well, so to make it easy. So tonight we're really going to go kind of like through a Cliff Notes version of the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis. Now, when I say this, Genesis is pretty much already in order as it is. So the narrative helped me a lot, the commentary helped me a lot. But why don't we get started then? So in the beginning, it went down. I'm going to be pretty brief in this. Most of us know the story. You know, in 6 days, and on a seventh day, God rested. But God made the world. And so there was black, there was nothing. And then after a course of days, God made man, he made Adam. And then that's pretty awesome. I can't claim to have done that. I don't think anyone has besides God. So after that, you know, Adam's out there in the Garden of Eden, which God has made for Adam to enjoy God's splendor, and he's really lonely, so God puts him to sleep, wakes him up with Eve, takes out his rib when he's asleep, and now he has a partner. And those guys, they're out there, and they're naming all the animals, and they're living with God, and just everything's awesome. It doesn't stay awesome, though, because unfortunately, Satan comes around. He's like, yeah, you know, Eve, it'd be really cool if you eat this fruit that you were told not to eat, you know, the knowledge of good and evil. And she's like, yeah, why? Well, you'll be like God. And she's like, okay. And Adam's, you know, in case you didn't know, he's standing right there and just like, sure, go ahead. And he's not paying attention. He's just letting it happen. And so she eats, and then he eats, and thing goes to another thing, and boom, we're out of the Garden of Eden. And God has put curses on us all, and you know, now things are hard. Childbirth is hard. We have to work harder. But God doesn't leave a promise. He promised that that he's going to stamp out the evil. And that brings me a really big point here, that God doesn't just have a story here in his word where we learn about people. We have a story that goes from beginning to the end. You see, the Bible is not just in little tiny stories. It has what's called a polyphonic narrative. So there's several stories going on at once. So you have the story of people, a story of ages, and the story of God's plan. So we're going to keep going. And, you know, people started populating on the earth. And a lot of people weren't very good. And there's one person in particular, Cain. He was the son of Adam and Eve, and he killed his brother. You see, they both brought offerings to God. And you had Abel, who brought his herds and his sheep to God, and God was very pleased. And you have very angry Cain, and he's just like, oh, I'm bringing my fields and all my vegetables and wheat and everything. And God's like, yeah, I'm not very happy about that. I don't know how you're about that. And he's like, and so he kills Abel. Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad things that happen in the Bible. And so we're going to skip ahead a little bit. We're going to go to Noah. You see, things have gotten so bad that God's like, okay, Noah, we need a restart. It's game over. Hitting the reset button, boom. You're gonna be my extra life here. Okay, well, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to build an ark. It's gonna be by these dimensions. okay, I can do that. And I want you to take every animal by two. By two, Lord? Well, how am I going to get more animals? You got a good point, Lord. How am I going to do that? Don't worry, I'll bring them to you. You're just not going to worry about it. Just it'll be fine. Okay. So, rains for 40 days, 40 nights. A lot of water on Earth. It was pretty much just water at that point. And so after a long time on a big boat with a bunch of stinky animals, God, he provides, and Noah is on land again, and he makes a big promise. He says, this is not happening again. Just watch. There's a rainbow here. That's my proof. No more destruction of all humanity. And so Noah has a bunch of kids, and you have, like, I don't remember their names. I have it. It's in there. But they, essentially, there are the descendants of pretty much everyone around here. I hope there's no exceptions. But, some time passes, and, of course, people start sinning again. It's just, we know people sin. And so people are like, why don't we build a tower? And we can make it reach heaven. And so they start building the tower, and, that doesn't work out. God's like, guys, this is not going to work. It would be really cool, though, if you all spoke different languages and all had different races and everything, and bam, hey, what's going on? I don't know what anyone's saying. It's just babbling. Hey, why don't we call this place Babel? And, so, yeah, that happens. Actually, one thing I missed that in my notes. We should go back a little bit. Is some of the ancestry. If you ever, read the genealogy and you, know some names, you're just like, wait a minute. Wait, okay, I got this. So here's a little shortcut version. So Noah's son, Shem, his kids go on, and you get Abraham's in the line of that. And then you have the son, Ham. His ancestors, he's the ancestor of the Canaanites. So you have these, it's what's happening. And so one thing I also want to point out, but I'm not going to talk about it, is the story of Job happens in this period. And for good reason, it's kind of a complicated story. And it's really more important later in the Bible, but his story is in this point. So we have a bunch of genealogy, and a lot of, a lot of babies are born. And people live a long time, so everyone's kind of hanging out with each other. Abraham's hanging out with, his great-great-great-great-grandkids. And we finally get to a man named Abraham who lives in what's really modern-day Iraq. And God's like, hey, Abraham. He's like, what? I have a proposition for you. So God calls to Abraham. He tells him, so you and your family and everyone around you, you're going to travel to Canaan. And I also am going to give you a lot of descendants. You're going to have children. He's like, really, Lord? Yeah, really. Okay, let's go. Takes his wife, Sarai, with him, and they travel on. And you have his relatives come with him, too. So they're traveling and going around. They eventually make their way over to Egypt, kind of go past Cana for, they went to Cana, and then they're like, oh, let's go to Egypt. Let's do a little vacay. And we see a little bit of a negative side of his character. See, Abraham sometimes tends to be a liar. He's a great man, but I don't know, I've lied before, and I don't really think that high of myself at well. So if Abraham can lie, and I'm like, okay, everyone has got to be lie at some point. But what happens is he goes to Egypt, and he's like, okay, honey, you're really pretty, and people tend to kill people to marry really pretty people. So I'm going to tell them that you're my sister. And that's actually true. They're actually half sister. They're half siblings. They have this. Well, I read it, and I was like, okay, well, I know they're half siblings at least. And so it's true. They're siblings. And so this is my sister. This is Sarai. And he's like, oh, cool, nice to meet you guys. And Abraham's actually pretty wealthy. And so what tends to happen a lot of times when you make allies is you marry family members of your allies. So Pharaoh's just like, I should take Sarai to be a wife of mine. And you understand as well that during this time there was polygamy. So what happens is Pharaoh gets plagues upon him, he's cursed, and God is pretty much tells Pharaoh, yeah, that's actually his wife. And so Pharaoh is really, really upset at Abraham, says, why didn't you just tell me that was your wife? I wouldn't have done this and brought this upon myself. And I'm going to just tell you right now, this is the first time Abraham does this. After the second time, it's not even going to be the last time you hear this happen. So, unfortunately, Abraham takes off and, not under any good situation. Eventually, stuff isn't going so well for Abraham. They're in Cana, and his nephew, Lot, is like, okay, Abraham, nothing's really growing here. The sheep aren't really eaten. We should really go to Sodom, where it's really, really nice. There's plenty of vegetation. And you just learn later that that's totally going to change. But there's like, Lot, we got to stay here. And Lot's like, well, I feel like we really need to leave. So they split up, and Lot goes his own way, goes to Sodom, which at this point is very much a very nice and fertile place. So then there's wars, and the wars rage for 15 years, and unfortunately Sodom is captured, and all the inhabitants are taken. So Abraham hears this, and he's like, okay, this is not good. So he goes out and he fights, and he saves his nephew Lot. And then he's offered a reward from the king of Sodom, but he's like, no, I don't need this. I just need to save my nephew. So Melchizedek was like, Abraham, you're a good guy. I'm going to bless you in the name of the Lord. But it's been a few years now. She's been more than a few years. And Abraham's like, okay, Lord, I'm still waiting on an heir here. And you promised that. When is that happening? And God's like, don't worry. You're getting a son, no problemo. So a covenant is formed between God and Abraham. Then more time passes, and you get a little nervous again. And Sarah is like, I know what God means. She doesn't know what God means. I'm going to give you my maidservant. Her name is Hagar. She's going to be your second wife, and you're going to have a son. And yes, he does have a son named Ishmael. And historically, you should know that Ishmael, his descendants become the modern-day Arabs that we have today. And actually, that's why they believe that they share a common ancestor of Abraham. And it's through Ishmael. And Ishmael is actually blessed, which we'll get to later, blessed by the Lord. And he's not promised an inheritance by Abraham, but he is blessed by God. So God comes to Abraham and Sarai, and he's like, you know what, guys? It wasn't Ishmael, but I'm going to change your name to Abraham and Sarah. And oh, by the way, you have to do circumcision now. Okay. and then what happens is God comes and visits Abraham. He actually comes to human form, and he goes and visits Abraham. And he tells Abraham, so Sarah's going to have a son. And she's actually sitting in the tent, and she's sitting aside, and she laughs, and God isn't really too happy about that. But God's like, yeah, this is happening. So Abraham and God have another conversation a bit later, and he's like, okay, I want to let you know that something's going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's time for a little bit of judgment. And Abraham's like, whoa, 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 whoa. What if there's righteous people there? And God's like, well, yeah, what if? And he's like, well, what if there's like 100 righteous people? Oh, well, okay, what if there's, okay, what about there's 50? Well, I guess I won't destroy it then, too. 20? 20, you know, 10, 1. So what happens is God sends messengers down to save Lot. And he delivers him from all that destruction. You know, it's, if you saw the Bible miniseries, it's quite, there's a lot of ornamentation on it. But I'm not going to lie, seeing like Kung Fu Angels was really, really cool, even though I know it, that probably didn't happen. But, you know, Lot is running out, and he's with his daughters and his wife, and the city is being completely destroyed by fire and brimstone and all of God's wrath, and Lot's wife turns around, and they were told not to turn around, and she turns around, and she becomes a pillar of salt. So, yeah, that happened. That's crazy. So, we're going to get to some PG-13 parts here, just FYI, because in case you don't know, it gets a little weird. So, they're up in the mountains, and it's just Lot and his daughters, and they're like, well, we should have sons. So they get them drunk, and they have children through their father, and I guess we're all adults, but it doesn't make any less awkward. And yeah, that happened, and you know, we're here to learn about God's character in the stories. And God's character is, he's good, and he saved the righteous. So we're going to, I just lost my spot. So, okay. Now Abraham is visiting Abimelech, and now we're back to Abraham lying again. Yeah, this is my sister. So Abimelech tries to take her as his wife. God's like, Abimelech, just to let you know, that's actually Abraham's wife. So don't do that. So Abimelech's like, you know, I'm trying to take Abimelech's a little bit cooler about it than Pharaoh. You know, they're both very forgiving. But Abimelech's just like, okay, Abraham, you really should have told me that that was your wife. But I'm gonna forgive you anyway. So another time, so we skip ahead a little bit, and Isaac's born. He is the son of Abraham and Sarah. And then more time passes, and Isaac's now a young, strapping young lad, and God's like, "Hey, Abraham, we need to talk. You're gonna need to sacrifice your son for me." Okay, Lord. Let's do this. And so God takes Isaac up to the mountain. He's about to sacrifice him, and God intervenes. And he's like, okay, Abraham, here's a ram. You passed. You are faithful. And God makes promised a blessings to Abraham for his faith. God also, actually, I skipped the line, so this is before just that, but God tells Abraham that you need to send out Hagar and Ishmael, but God does watch over them, and he blesses them. So, we're going to move over geographically over back to Mesopotamia area where Abraham originally came from, and we learn a little bit about Nahor, and he pretty much is Abraham's brother, and he has a bunch of family. One person in particular you should know is Rebecca, who will technically is Isaac's cousin, but will soon be Isaac's wife. So, a little bit later, Sarah dies. So he buys a cave from Ephraim. Now, I'm not going to lie, some of these names get kind of difficult. But he buys it, and it's in Cana. He buries Sarah in it. And he gets to, Abraham gets to this point where he's like, you know, I think it's time to arrange a marriage for Isaac. So he gets some a servant together, and he sends him out to Nahor. And eventually Rebecca is going to come, and then he's going to be with Isaac. So the servant goes out, and he happens to run into Rebecca, and he's like, "I am looking for the family of Nahor. Know anyone? Actually, I am. My name's Rebecca. I am marrying age," and it's like, "You're perfect. Come with me." Didn't quite go like that, but how it put together with God's plan, it was just absolutely perfect. It pretty much was that. And so a little bit later, Abraham takes another wife and has some kids, but it's Isaac who really has the birthright and the blessing of God. And several years later, and at the ripe old age of 175 years old, Abraham passes away. And he's buried with his wife, Sarah. And a little bit later, Ishmael dies, but I don't have his age written down. I think he was pretty old, too. So we've gotten to, we just finished through a huge section of story here. But we actually get to go to another arc, which is the story of Jacob. And we're still learning about Isaac, but fortunately, Isaac's having trouble having kids, too. And praying to God, because Rebecca just can't have kids, unfortunately. So, but God provides. And Rebecca has a son. In fact, she has two. And these two young men, or will be young men, are Jacob and Esau. And unfortunately, we're going to see with these two parents a little bit of parental favoritism, you know, playing favorites. So you have Esau, who is the strong, hairy, loves to hunt guy, and then Isaac likes him. And, you know, I can't admit I love meat too. So, but then you also have Jacob, who is, it's his mother's favorite. He's the one who hangs around the tents and doing the chores, and he's a really nice guy. None of them are bad guys really, but. Later it happens, Esau's coming back from the hunt, and he's absolutely famished. And Jacob's like, "Hey, I'm making some stew." And Esau's like, "Yeah, give me some of that." I was like, "Well, you're going to have to pay me. What do you want? Birthright. Take it." Okay. And there's a drought, and time passes, and they're in Gerar. And Isaac's like, "So, yeah, this is my cousin. Rebecca, yeah, she's my cousin." But then Abimelech happens to see them cuddling, and he's like, "Hey, guys, don't lie to me." And he's not very happy about it, but God blesses Isaac's crops. And Abimelech's like, "Wait a minute, the Lord's with you." So they decide to swear an oath to each other. And then Isaac's like, "Okay, I'm getting old. I need to bless my kids." So Isaac calls Esau and is like, "I want you to make me a meal. And when that's done, I'm going to bless you." And Rebecca and Jacob was like, "Okay, we got this." And they start scheming. And so what happens is Rebecca dresses up Jacob with all his lamb's fur, makes Isaac his favorite meal. And so Jacob comes out and is like, "So, here's your meal." And it's like, "Jacob, is that you?" No, it's me, Esau." "You sure?" "Yeah." And it's like, "Well, you sound like Jacob, but let me feel your arms." "Okay." And he feels the roughness and is like, "Okay." He eats food and is like, "Well, Esau, I'm going to bless you." So Isaac ends up blessing Jacob instead. And a little bit too late, Esau finds out, and he's not happy. He's like, isn't there a blessing left for me? Dad, do you have anything? No, the purse, I already gave out the blessing. It's gone. Well, he's not too happy. So, he's going to hold a grudge. And Jacob's like, okay, Mom, Dad, I need to get out of here. I got a mad brother. So, Isaac and Rebecca's like, okay, I want you to go to Laban. They're part of the family. You need to go to Haran, and you need to find a wife there. So, he leaves and he goes. And Jacob meets Rachel, and he falls head over heels with her. And so he talks to Bond, and he's just like, hey, can I marry your daughter? He's like, sure, work for me for 7 years. It's a long time. Yeah, it is. Well, I'll do it. So he does. And Laban's just like, okay, here's your wife. And he goes and he marries someone. It isn't Rachel. And wakes up the next morning and is like, Leah, what are you doing here? Oh, you're my husband. Oh, what's going on, Laban? Oh, I can't just give out my first. I can't just give out my second born before my first born is married. If you want Rachel, wake her up in 7 years. Okay, well, that's a deal. That's worth it. So, after 14 years, Jacob now has two wives. And they happen to be sisters. And if anyone knows anything about sibling rivalry, it can be fierce. And I think this is probably the fiercest I've ever seen it. So, and it's all about childbirth. And really, Leah wins this one. So she ends up having a bunch of sons. First one, Reuben. Second one, Simon. Levi. And then Judah. Rachel, she's actually, well, this is the third time in a row now we have a barren wife. But God's like, it's okay. I got you. And so she has, well, actually, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Rachel ends up giving her maidservant first. She's like, okay, here, my husband, have another wife so that she can bury my sons for you. So she buries, and she has Dan in Naphtali. It's hard, sorry. So Leah's like, okay, if you can do that, I can do that too. So then we have Gad and Asher. And then Leah's like, no, I can have more kids. So we have Zebulun, and also a daughter named Dina. And then Rachel, finally, God blesses her, and she has Joseph. Now, considering that Rachel was the favorited wife, we can guess who is going to be the favorited son. Before that happens, it's a little bit of a skirmish between Laban and Jacob, at least in terms of wits. You see, Laban's like, I want Jacob here. He's a good worker. All my family's here. This is great. So, Jacob's like, okay, you know what, Laban, I want to head out. I don't want to take my, the inheritance and the wages that I got from you. Okay. So Jacob's like, I'm going to take all the sheep that are spotted and just, not perfect looking. And he's like, perfect. So like the night Laban's like, okay, let's get all the ones that aren't perfect and take them out of here. And Jacob's like, okay, well, two can play at that game. So he takes some trees, puts it in front of puts it pretty much right where the sheep are in their feeding troughs, so they have something to eat while they're in heat, and all the different colored sheep get together and they have a bunch of little kids, which is a technical term. Anyway, And they're spotted, and she goes like, yep, here's my sheep. And so Bond's like, so they're both upset there, but they form a covenant with each other. But Jacob takes off. He's like, okay, I'm done with this guy. You know, we just try to outwit each other. They flee, and Laban's upset. So he takes off, and he's like, why would you leave without saying goodbye? It's mean. Unfortunately, Rachel stole something from him. And he's also a little bit upset about that. But, you know, they have a covenant. So everything's good. So he sets out the Cana. He's been finally sent out by Laban, his father-in-law, and he sends a message to his brother because he has to go through the territory that his brother owns. He's like, send word to my brother. Send gifts. Let him know that his brother is here. And after all these years, I believe it's about 20 years, you know, there's forgiveness, and Esau and Jacob hug it out like brothers. And Esau goes on his way. Jacob goes on his way, and they cross the Jabbok, which is really just a spot a little bit north of the Jordan. But there, something supernatural happens, and Jacob wrestles with the Lord. And this is a really weird part, because it just kind of happens. You just like don't know what happens. And I've read, actually did a, when I was at Biola, did my like my final studying of the Bible paper on just like this section, and like everyone's just like, yeah, it's weird. every single commentary, this happens, and it represents this and this, and some people I've read and like, yeah, I don't know what you're close. But he wrestles with God, and he's actually doing pretty well against God in terms of physical. But God's just like, okay, I'm going to touch your side, and now you're dislocated, but here's a blessing. So now Jacob's limping. But they're, now they're in Cana. And Jacob actually settles in this area of Shechem. And so we move on, and they're living there. And Shechem takes a liking to Dina, and, well, he defiles her. And so everyone's like, okay, why did you do this? And it's like, oh, I really like your wife. Can I marry her? Well, you have to be, to take part in our customs. You must be circumcised. So all the men in Shechem has a lot of guys. He pretty much has a town. And everyone gets circumcised. But unfortunately, it doesn't really end up that well. You see, Simon and Levi, they decide to attack the city, and they kill everyone, all the men, in revenge. And, well, Jacob, he's like, guys, are you serious? Why? Great. Now I don't look very good in this situation. No one's going to like me, and great. This isn't good. So he moves, and he goes to Bethel. And God's like, okay, you're going to be called Israel now. Now, he was renamed before when he fought, when Jacob fought God, but this is for, you know, this is happening again. And just for the sake of, you know, just clarity, I'm just going to still call him Jacob, but he's called Israel now, and it's the reason why we call the people, you know, the Israelites, the son of Israel. So, God, Benjamin is born. He's the second son of Rachel, but she unfortunately dies in the process. But Jacob's final sons are Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, sorry, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Reuben, and then you, I must not finish it, but I did finish it. Okay. I was like, where's Joseph Benjamin? And like, oh, wait, I already passed them. But Reuben, unfortunately, sins against his father. And eventually Isaac dies at the... Isaac, back to him, he dies at the ripe old age of 180. And Esau, his descendants, live in the area of Seir. So that's the end of the story of Jacob, at least here for us. I mean, he's still in the story, but we're done with his story. So we get to the story of Joseph, who is the favorite son of Jacob. Then you should know that he had a bunch of brothers that didn't like him. It's kind of what happens when when parents play favorites. But, you know, it doesn't get any better when Joseph has a really cool dream where all these stuff is bowing towards him, and he's like, okay, that hat. And it's just like, this is this dream, and all these bales of wheat are bowing, and all the stars, and they're like, okay, guys, if we didn't like Joseph before, we really don't like him now. He's out and he's looking for his brothers because his father sent him out to go find them. And they're like, hey, Joseph's coming. No, what we should do? We should kill him. Reuben's like, no, that's too mean. It's like, well, let's throw him in the cistern. It's a dry cistern, so there's no water in there, so he's not drowning. But they do that. And then they also decide to sell him into slavery, and he ends up in Egypt. And they lie to their father that say, look it, Joseph died. And Jacob's not very happy. He's actually incredibly sad. And so Joseph is in Egypt now. And he actually does pretty good in the circumstances. His owner, Potiphar, really takes a liking to him. He's like, wow, Joseph, you're really good at working and you're really smart. My entire house and all the people that I have in my service, you're the boss. Anything goes down, just let me know. But you're the man in charge, so that's cool. But unfortunately, things don't go so well for Joseph though, because Potiphar's wife thinks Joseph's pretty cute and starts advancing on him, and he's like, I don't have any authority for you. You belong to my master. And she's like, no, and keeps advancing on him. Eventually she's just like, eventually she goes to her husband and is like, he defiled me. And he's like, what? Unfortunately, Joseph goes in prison, and you know, that's pretty bad circumstance. But the prison guards see he's a really smart guy, hard worker, so they put him in charge of the entire prison. So yeah, it's not really good, but it's still kind of cool. And he meets a butler there, or the cupbearers, some translations call it, and also a baker, and they both have dreams. And they're like, we are having some weird dreams. Like, hey, maybe I can help. I can know a little bit about dreams. God helps me. And so what happens is, he hears the dreams. The first dream is the cupbearer, and he's like, well, there are all these grapes in the wine. And he's like, okay, well, you're going to go in 3 days. You're going to go back in service, and it's going to be awesome. And it's like, okay, that's cool. Thanks. And then the baker's just like, well, I have all these bread, and all the crows come, and they pick them all. It's like, well, in 3 days, you're going to die. Oh, okay, thanks. And so several years later, the butler or the cupbearer is hanging around, and he's working for Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's like, I'm having some dreams, and man, are they weird. I don't know what's going on. Anyone can tell me. It's just crazy. And he's like, hey, I know a person. I just remembered. There's a guy in prison named Joseph, and he can interpret dreams. Bring him here. So here's this crazy dream about these wheats that are eaten. These sickly wheats eaten, these fat wheats, and fat cows beaten by sickly cows. And he's just like, so we're going to have, you know, okay, the harvest would be really good for 7 years, just so you know. But here's the downside. It's also going to get super bad. So this is what we're going to need to do. We're going to have to save. And I was like, who should I put in charge? Joseph, you're smart, and you get things done. I'm putting you in charge. In fact, you're pretty much Pharaoh, except I'm Pharaoh. Oh, okay. So 7 years of plenty. Joseph gets things done. They save up. They have plenty of food for when this famine hits. It hits really, really hard. In fact, you can feel it all the way in Cana, back where Jacob and all the sons that sent him out into Egypt are. And they're like, we don't got any food. So Jacob's like, okay, guys, go to Egypt. They have food. We can give them some silver. We'll be good. Things don't quite go exactly as planned. Most of the time, it's Joseph's fault. Manasseh and Ephraim, who are Joseph's sons, are born, and they're important because you're actually going to have some of the tribes are going to be named after them. But the brothers go to Egypt, and Joseph's like, I know these guys, but they don't know me. Let's mess with them. He sees them, he's like, you guys, you're spies. You're going to come to see which part of our land is unprotected. He's like, no, we're not. Yes, you are. So he takes them. He's like, I'm going to send one person out. I'm going to put the rest of you in prison. And then 3 days pass. He's like, okay, I'm going to leave Simeon here. You're going to stay in prison. Everyone else go out, take some food, but you need to bring the youngest son to me to prove that you aren't spies. And they're like, oh, that's our father's favorite. We can't just do that. So what happens is they have to do that because they're getting him to Jacob, and he's like, well, looks like I just lost two sons now because Simeon's gone, and I'm not bringing Benjamin over there. But eventually they run out of food. And Reuben's like, hey, if anything happens to Ben, I have two sons. They can go. Father, we gotta save Simeon. Everything's gonna be all right. And Jacob's like, no. Can't do it. It's like we can't get any food from them unless we bring Ben with us. Okay. But if anything happens to him, the sorrow on me will kill me. It will bring me to my grave. And they're like, okay, Dad, everything's gonna be all right. Well, Joseph kind of played with that because he gets there and he's just like, oh, good, you guys are here. We're going to have dinner and come to my palace. And they're like freaked out because they already felt like this place is just, anything could happen at any moment. They just feel like bad luck. God's like not watching out for them all. God is, though. So that's the cool thing. And he's like, okay, guys, here's your food. And he puts the puts their money back there, and he's like, okay, servants, I want you to put my cup in Benjamin's bag. And so they go, and Ben, you know, they're carrying it around, and one of the servants go out, and this is after that, and he goes, did you steal from us? And it's like, no, of course not. You've been so good to us. How could we do that? So they open up the bags, and they look in there, and it's like, okay. And then they open up Benjamin's bag, and they're like, okay, this isn't good. This really isn't good. They're like, whoever stole the cup has to go to prison in Egypt, and you're not going home. And they're just like, oh, no, this isn't good. This really isn't good. And I'm going to be honest, when I was reading this stuff, I'm just like getting really upset and really emotional because it's just like, oh, no. And even though I know what happens, I can't help it. I'm an emotional person. And so everyone just like darts back to Joseph, and they're like, we didn't do this. We really didn't. Please forgive us. This guy needs to go in prison. Take us, all of us instead. And he's like, guess what? It's actually me, Joseph. And they're like, what? It's Joseph. What? And he's like, how's Dad? And everyone's like, what? And, you know, things actually turn out great. And, you know, Pharaoh hears about that Joseph's brothers. He's like, Joseph's brothers are here? Let's have a feast. This is awesome. Let's bring the whole family. And actually the entire family, all of Jacob's family comes down. Jacob himself comes down to Egypt. And everyone's doing good. They have the food they need. And the family's back together again. And all the brothers, well, at least for now. I mean, we'll get to Exodus another time. where things aren't that good. But they do have to pay. They have a land for them. Egypt makes land for them. They pay taxes. It's 1/5, which I think is a little bit worse than what I have it, at least, what I pay. But that's still pretty reasonable. And then the sons of Israel, the sons of Jacob, received their blessings, which, you know, it's just, I'm not going to be able to really read it all to you, but definitely skip ahead in that part and just read, like, the different blessings that they receive, because it sounds really cool. It's like getting your own little, it's really like you, it's like, it looks like I'm reading, everyone's getting knighted. This is so cool. But, yeah, this is pretty much where the Genesis account ends. We have Jacob, he eventually passes away, and so does Joseph. But now we set the tables for a big exodus where God's going to show his greatness to not just a family, but now to an entire nation of people.